have your Bibles today, open up to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Today we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. And the title I named the message today is Power in the Promises of Scripture. Power in the Promises of Scripture. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. As you're turning there, though, I want to ask you a question. Has anyone in the congregation today ever been to a magic show? How many people have ever been to a magic show? Great. You know, magicians, they are just exciting. I liked magicians as a kid. I thought they were entertaining. As an adult, I fell into this kind of trap where I was trying to solve all their tricks on my own, and I just lost the enjoyment until I went to this show, this magic show here in Emporia, Kansas. And let me tell you, it was something else. Now, I never get chosen for anything. I haven't won anything in my life, really, to speak of. I never really get chosen in a crowd of people. But I was sitting in this crowd in the Granada, and this person had a carrot. And he said, "Tell me where this carrot comes from." And so I think I said the ground or a farmer or something. I don't know what I said. But whatever I said was funny enough that he said, "Hey, you, come up on stage." Oh, man. So you never want to get on stage with a magician and a guillotine, that's for sure. But I was on stage for that moment. And so he came over and he did his little trick and he took that carrot, he put it in that guillotine, and it chopped that carrot in half. Wow, that's great. And so you knew what was coming next. It was to put my head in there. And so I go ahead and I put my head in this guillotine, and in front of me was a bucket with a dummy's head that had blood all over it. That is not very reassuring when your head is in this thing. And so I'm trying to smile and look at the crowd, and I'm thinking, man, I know the Granada doesn't have a big budget. I sure hope they paid a magician that knows what he is doing, because I love my head. I'm kind of attached to it, you know what I'm saying? But boy, that was the position I was in. That was probably one of the craziest magic moments of my life. I'm still here today, so praise the Lord, my head did not get chopped off. But magicians, they're entertaining. I remember as a kid watching that card trick, and it's still today, I don't know how it works, but they say, well, here's all these different cards, and they say, well, pick a card, and every time, without ever showing you that card that you picked, they name your card. I love that trick. I just think that trick is entertaining. So magic, it's been one of those things that was entertaining. And I noticed as magicians, they always use this secret word that did something. Anybody know that word that those magicians use? Rocky and Bullwinkle, they used it too. You know that word? Abracadabra, exactly, yeah. Abracadabra, boom, and then whatever happens. You know, I tried that when I was a kid. I thought, you know, the greatest trick in the world would be if I could change asparagus into chocolate cookies. I'm serious, that would be a great trick. If I just went up there and I said, abracadabra, boom, and then chocolate cookies appeared on my plate. But I tried and it didn't work. So then I watched this show, Alibaba, and I watched this show, and he had this secret word that he said when he wanted to open up this robber's cave, and he said, open sesame, and then boom, it opened up. I don't know if you guys ever watched Alibaba, but yeah, that took place. And so I thought I'd try that too as a little kid. So I went up to my parents' room and it was locked. And you know, you only lock something if there's something good inside. And so I figured my parents had to have some good stuff in their bedroom. And so, boy, I went up there and I looked at it and it was locked. And so I didn't try what I normally would have tried, which is whoosh, you know. I didn't do that. But what I did was I said, open sesame. And it didn't work. So then I shouted even louder, Ron. I said, open sesame! And then my mom said, Alan, what is wrong with you? Nothing, Mom. Everything's good. I found out open sesame was a lie, too. Didn't work. And then I watched shows like Captain Kangaroo. They taught you some magic words. Even Barney the Purple Dinosaur had some magic words for you. Anybody ever watch Barney? Nobody wants to admit to that, probably. Yeah, what was his magic word? Said, please and thank you are the magic words. I remember several episodes about that. And so what I want to talk to you today is not about magic words that don't do anything. I don't want to talk to you about words like open sesame that doesn't do anything. I don't want to talk to you about a word like abracadabra that when you say it, your asparagus doesn't turn into chocolate chip cookies. I want to share with you 10 words that will change your life. And if you believe in Him and you trust in Him, it will make you a new person. It'll take every challenge that you face and it'll be dissolved. You'll be able to conquer every challenge, fight every foe, bear any burden, shoulder anything that comes to life if you just know these 10 little words and you really believe in Him and you really trust Him. So as you're looking at your Bible today in Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 13. A scripture we use a lot of the time, but I don't know that we really trust in it. I don't know that we really believe it. If you have your Bible and you like to underline, you have a highlighter, this would be a good verse to highlight. 10 little words. It says, you can even count them on your fingers. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those aren't magic words, folks. That's a promise in the scripture that you can take to the bank. I want to break it down in a couple of phrases for you today. Let's begin at the beginning. The word I. The first word reminds us that this I it's talking about is a people of faith, people that are Christians. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now make no mistake about it, God can do anything he wants with anybody he wants to. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the creator of the universe. He's the creator of mankind and all living things. But in most cases, God uses people to do his will here on earth, doesn't he? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I know some of you in the congregation might be thinking, well, yes, Pastor, God does use people, but he's also used angels a time or two, and he's even used that donkey once to be able to talk to somebody. Yes, so if God can use a donkey, folks, God can use you, okay? So when it says I want you to think about this. I want you to think about I. That means if you're a Christian, that means this promise is for you. But as God calls his men and women to do work on this earth, I want you to think about this for a minute. He used Noah to build an ark when Noah had never even seen a drop of rain. He used the faith of David to take down the biggest warrior in the Philistine army with a slingshot when David was just a little boy. He used Moses to deliver the Israelites from the Pharaoh in Egypt. He used Rahab, a harlot, to provide protection for God's people when they were spying on Jericho. And he used a couple of fishermen, just a couple of fishermen, to deliver the gospel message of salvation to the entire world. Folks, God can use you, and God wants to use you today. Now you might think, well, why does God want to use me? Why wouldn't God use these rich people and these influential people and these powerful people? Why wouldn't God use those people? God would use those people. But a lot of times, people with a lot of money, a lot of wealth, a lot of fame, also want a lot of glory. And you see, God says we're supposed to put him first in our life. And you run into a lot of trouble where if you're taking all the pride, if you're taking all the glory, that's just not a position that God typically uses. God would rather use the ordinary person, the person who says that I will serve you, Lord. And so if you wake up in the morning and you say, God, this isn't my day. This is a day you blessed me with. This is a gift you've given me, Lord. And I want to serve you. I want to do whatever your will is, God. That's what I want to do today. If you pray that prayer, folks, look out, because I promise God will use you. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, 26-29. It says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. God does some of his greatest work, folks, through common people, because he takes what we are, he uses our willingness to serve him, and he does great things through us that can do nothing but glorify God, because he knows we can't do them on our own. Remember Philippians 4:13 again. You'll have that memorized by the time we leave. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These words apply to you as they did the Apostle Paul. I, meaning you the believer, not somebody else, not just exceptional people, not just the rich or the famous or the influential or the talented people, not just preachers or missionaries or elders. I means you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But that's just the beginning. Now let's look at the next phrase. Can do. The next two words reveal our perspective of faith. can do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a fact in human nature that we seldom accomplish more than we think we can. I want you to hear that again. It's a fact in human nature that we seldomly accomplish more than we think we can. You see, if you think you can't do it, then you can't. And you won't. You've already defeated yourself before you even got in the ring. But let me tell you something different. If you think you can do it, you have a chance. Henry Ford said it like this: success begins with I can. Failure begins with I can't. Think about it. So you and I, we have to stop putting a limit on what we think God can do with us. You see, you may not be able to do it under your own power, but you can do anything with Christ's backing. So you got to stop putting God in this box and saying, oh, I'm not comfortable with that. Oh, I can't do that. If you pray and you ask for God's will to take place in your life, that you're willing to serve Him and do whatever He calls you to do, then folks, you got to have the faith that backs it up. You got to trust in Him. You have to believe Him. You can do it. God says this: if we're the children of God, we have everything that God has. Listen to this. John 14:12-14 says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Congregation, we can spout these verses all we want, but if we aren't putting our feet to the faith, then we're not accomplishing anything for God's good work. We serve an awesome God that wants to use us, that wants to do great and mighty things. But we have to believe. We have to trust. We have to have the faith. We have to have a heart that's willing to be used by God. We can't just memorize Scripture and not apply it. You have to trust in this promise. And if you do, I guarantee it will change your life if you live for it. How many people like salespeople? Do you like those people that knock on your door and try to sell you Kirby vacuum cleaners? You like those guys? I mean, this is a tough question. You're like, Pastor, we're in church. Aren't we supposed to love everybody? Like, what are you trying to do here? Trick us? Maybe. Maybe. Well, we have a sales guy. He used to work for a company that I worked with. And I remember giving him this speech. I had to actually ask him for what he shared. And I had it in my notes from years ago, and I pulled it up for this message. He was a sales manager at a company I worked for in Austin, and he shared this illustration with me. He said he was going by and he saw this little boy. It was a shaggy little boy, was unkempt, and he had a shaggy little dog. And so the guy, the salesman, he drove past, and he saw this little boy and this little shaggy pup, and he pulled over. And the boy said, here's my problem. He said, my dog had puppies. And my dad told me I could have the money if I just sold this last one. But nobody's interested. Nobody wants this dog. So the salesman said, young man, can I give you some advice? Says, first, you got to think positive. You got to believe you have the best dog, the best product in the world. And you have to make it look good. You have to make people believe that you want to sell this dog. And so the boy listened intently as this salesman told him everything he needed to know about salesmanship. Finally, the salesman left the boy and he went on to his appointment. An hour later, he was on his way to his next appointment and the boy with the puppy was still out there. But this time, the boy was dressed in his best clothes. The dog was washed and brushed and there was a big bow around his neck. And the sign now read, world's greatest dog for sale, $5,000. So the salesman thought to himself, oh no, what have I done? Later that day, the same salesman drove down the same street to pick up milk for his wife. And as he drove down, he noticed the sign was still there. The boy and the dog were gone, but across the $5,000 sign was in big letters, sold. So the salesman couldn't believe his eyes. So he went up to that little boy's house and he knocked on the door. And he had a big smile on his face and he said, young man, did you sell that dog for $5,000? And the little boy had a big smile. He said, I sure did. Thanks, mister. He said, somebody gave you $5,000 for that scrawny dog? And he said, well, kind of. I got two $2,500 cats. It worked out great. So he may not have got $5,000, but he did get two great $2,500 cats. And you see, it's amazing what you can do when you don't know that you can't. See, when you think you can't do something, you can't. But when you don't know you can't, you can do amazing things. David didn't know Goliath was too big to stop. Caleb didn't know the promised land couldn't be conquered. Joshua didn't know that Jericho's walls were too strong. Elijah didn't know his enemies were too many. They just had faith. They just believed in God, and they just trusted him. And it really is about time that we do the same thing. You see, it's not enough just to come to church and to sing some music and to praise God and then to leave the same way you came in every Sunday. You got to hear God's word. You got to take it into your heart and you got to take action on it. So I want to challenge you right now to make the decision to follow what that scripture says. And also listen to this in Proverbs 3:5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding." I'm not going to have you raise your hands for this. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I do want to ask the question, do you really trust in the Lord with all your heart? Because if you worry, you don't. I'm not here to point fingers. I'm just here to share the truth. You can't say you trust in the Lord with all your heart if you're worrying all the time. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. You want to be a man or a woman of God, you got to start doing this. This is where it starts. God has never accomplished anything significant that I know of. He may have. God can do anything. But through folks who say, I can't do it. However, I know he has moved mountains. He has toppled kingdoms. And he's turned the world upside down by ordinary folks that say, I can do it. I can. Not I might. Not I should. Not I could do if. But I can. Remember those 10 little words that are so powerful. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. Not some things, but all things. If you're struggling with forgiving someone today, ask God to help you. Then get up. Go and forgive that person. And watch God start repairing that relationship. If you want to be healed of gluttony today, if that's a problem you struggle with, you want to be healed of that? Ask God for the strength. Follow the diets. Follow the exercise program. And get out there and do it and then praise God for what he's done in your life. If you're fighting temptations of lust or stealing or drugs or any of those other things, you got to ask God to get rid of those temptations in your life. You got to get serious. You just got to come down and say, God, I can't do it anymore. I need your help. And then you got to do what? Back in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. If you are battling anything in life, folks, ask God, believe, and trust him. As Christians, we don't have a problem asking God. We're good at that. But we do have a problem believing. And we do have a problem trusting. Maybe that's why God said, all you need is the faith of a mustard seed and you can move mountains. God loves every single one of us here. And he wants us to have a relationship that's amazing. Better than any relationship you could ever have. He wants you to have that relationship, but you got to trust him. And you got to believe in him first. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The scripture tells us in Romans chapter 8, 37, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. More than conquerors. Why do we even need to be more than conquerors? Hey, to win is good enough. But Christ says you are more than conquerors. Romans 8, 31 says this, if God is for us, who can be against us? We live in a world of negativity. We live in a world where we try once and we give up. Folks, if Abraham Lincoln tried once and he gave up, he never would have became the president. If you look at how many times he failed, he was one of the most failing people. But he never gave up, and he became a great president. Paul wrote the words that I'm sharing with you today from a personal experience. He knows what it was like to suffer and go through tough times. Let me show you the context of this. Philippians 4, starting with verse 11. It says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it's like to be in need. I know what it's like to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every and any situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Then he adds this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Some of you know this experience well. Some of you have suffered loss. Like Brother Lewis isn't here today because his sister passed away and their funeral was yesterday. He knows what it's like to suffer loss. Many of us do. Many of you know what it's like to face problems, to confront temptations, to wrestle with habits. It's not easy. And some of you thought probably that you'd never make it. But guess what? You're standing here today. You're standing here today. And you know why? Because God has a purpose and a plan for you. Your life isn't over. I don't care if you're young or you're old. He has a plan and a purpose for you. But you have to stop thinking that you can't, and you got to remember that you can. Our last phrase is the key here. Through Christ who strengthens us. The final phrase of these 10 words reveals the power of our faith. Now I want to make this clear. This phrase isn't about the power of positive thinking. That's not going to do you any good. This isn't some kind of pull yourself up by the bootstraps phrase. This isn't a promise that you can do anything you dream of. That's all nonsense. The power, the secret, is not in you. Love you, but it's not in you. The power is in Christ. Listen to the verse. I can do all things. Boy, that's great. But here's where your power comes from. Through Christ who strengthens me. The power comes from God, not us. If we don't ask, if we don't seek, if we don't believe, we don't trust, and if we aren't God's child, then you have nothing. Paul said it in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then Jesus, he went and he reminded those disciples. In John chapter 15, verse 5, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's the power from Jesus Christ that strengthens you, that enables you to do these things. Folks, it's not about us. It's about him. It's always been about him. And unless Jesus Christ is in you, unless he is the Lord of your life, you have no promise of God's power. None. There's no guarantee of personal or spiritual success unless you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Even if you do get ahead in this world, it doesn't matter in 100 years from now. Mark 8:36 said this, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his own soul? Here and there, now and then, it's all about Christ. And remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So let's stop putting God in a box. Let's stop saying we can't do things. And let's let God do what he does best. Change our hearts. Love people, and restore relationships. I have one more point and I close. 10 little words can change your life forever. It's not abracadabra. It's not please and thank you. Those 10 little words are what? Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's how you can do it. Those 10 little words. Remember them. Believe them. Trust in them. And most of all, live by them. If you leave the same person that you came in today, the fault is only your own. God wants you to believe. He wants you to trust in him. And he wants to start changing lives. So go out there and don't say, I can't. Say that I can. And ask God and seek him, and he'll show you the path. Let us stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, God, the world tells us so many things that we can't do. You know, God, I was thinking about this message, and we were joking yesterday. If you were to look at me, Lord, you'd probably think, boy, that fat guy, he could never run 10 miles. He couldn't run 1 mile. You know, I started playing around with the idea yesterday after watching that Dirty Kansas. Maybe we could do that 25-mile ride. You might look at me and say, that guy weighs 250 pounds. How is he going to be able to ride a bike 25 miles? I wouldn't be able to. But I believe this scripture applies to anything, God. I believe that through you, if I sought you, if I asked for your help, if I asked for your strength, if I followed your word, I believe I could ride that 25 miles. God, we have to stop believing that we can't do stuff. We have to stop being defeated by the world. We can't let Satan get that control over us where he thinks that he has control and that we lost. God, we are your children. No one can snatch us out of your hands. It's us that would have to walk away. But God, you left those 99 sheep to come and find that one. You love us, Lord. You want us to be successful. God, you want us to live for you. The whole reason we're down here is to bring glory to you and live our lives in a way that would bring glory to you. So God, help us to stop thinking we can't do stuff. And help us to remind us that we can. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, I don't want to leave here a defeated believer. I want to leave here an empowered believer. I want to leave here somebody who knows, God, that when you call Alan Barris Jr. to do something, that he will rise up no matter how nervous or scared or whatever's going on in his heart, but he will follow your will and he will do what you've called him to do no matter how terrifying it may be to me, because I want to trust you and I want to believe you and I want to honor you. God, help us all to have an attitude of, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Maybe there's somebody here in our service today that's struggling, God. Maybe they're struggling with addiction. Maybe they're struggling with a heart issue. Maybe they're struggling with a physical issue or a healing issue. Or God, maybe they're just heartbroken and they're tired and they just need to be renewed, God. Whatever they're struggling with, God, cast Satan away, Lord. There is no room for him in our hearts today. There's no room for him in our life today. Our hearts are filled with love for you, Jesus. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would bring us to you and you would restore us, God. That you would give us rest, Lord, as we are weary, God. That you would strengthen us for whatever battle faces our way. God, that we really would be able to do all things through you, Lord. God, so as people come and pray today, Lord, whatever's on their heart, I pray, God, that you would just encourage them. Help them to understand, Lord, it's not us that can do anything on our own, but through you we can do all things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your promises. We believe and we trust in them today. Amen.